Today, guys, we're going to talk about Palm Sunday. It is Palm Sunday. If you're watching this on Sunday, then it's Palm Sunday. If you're watching it a tiny bit later, then Palm Sunday's just happened. And you're probably thinking to yourself, what on earth is Palm Sunday? It's like Palm Tree Sunday. What do you mean by that? Well, it literally is palm trees. We're going to talk about it in just a moment. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to pray for a moment to ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us and enable us today. So Holy Spirit, help us today. Lord, help us to hear from heaven. Teach us the things that we need to be taught. Change our hearts in the way that need to be changed. And let us come out renewed and transformed in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So today is Palm Sunday. And back 2,000 odd years ago, this was the moment that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Now, he didn't come like any other king on a white horse and a sword. He came on a lowly donkey. It's crazy, isn't it? But he came to show the world something completely different. But this was his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the crazy part about it was Sunday, but 5 days later, he was going to be on the cross. And I don't think anybody saw that coming. And yet 7 days later, he was going to be risen from the dead, all completed. It was going to be Resurrection Sunday. So we're on a journey, and this is the beginning of Holy Week, and this is Palm Sunday, and next Sunday will be Resurrection Sunday. And sometimes it's the gap in between that really defines our lives, but praise God for Palm Sunday when Jesus came in on a young colt, a donkey. And the question from the beginning is, as we look at what we're talking about today, is what kind of Savior? See, here's the thing about Jesus, and we've seen it from the Old Testament, we've seen it in the New Testament, and we've seen it in today's culture. What type of Savior do you want? Do you want a Savior that gives you the perfect life? Do you want a Savior, but you don't really want a Savior, you just want saved? Or do you want a Savior that you would lie down your life for and you would say, hey, I want to follow after you and I want to become like you? And this is the journey that literally was unfolding before the people's eyes at this time. Jesus is riding in on the colt into Jerusalem, the holy city, the chosen people of Israel. He's riding into the holy place of God. And yet there is so much confusion because so many people are going, what kind of Savior is he? And today we're going to discover it. Matthew chapter 1 verse 8, it says this: a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut down branches from trees and spread those palm trees on the road. The crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Incredible. They're like cheering and they're celebrating because, you know, here's what happens with the crowd and when good things happen. I remember hearing the story about Hillsong Church that opened in New York. There was an old lady in the crowd and they asked her in the crowd, what are you doing in the crowd? She goes, hey, when you're in New York and there's a queue or there's a crowd, you get into it because there must be something good happening. This is kind of what was happening in verse 10. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowd answered back to itself and they said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. He's coming as a king-like figure. That's why they've cut down the branches. That's why they're kind of shouting for joy. Part of the crowd's like, who is this? And the other part of the crowd going, he's a prophet. They're all confused. They're not really sure what's going on. But for Jesus, this was his moment. And he was very clear what his moment was. We just all had to catch up. I'm coming as Messiah. I am the one that you've waited for. I am the one that your heart has longed for. I am the one that the world has cried out for. I am the one that Israel has waited for so long. And now I have come. The problem was he came in a way they didn't expect. But right from the stable in a manger, born in a cow shed or whatever it was, until now he's coming as a Savior, as a Messiah, but he's riding on a colt. Why is he not on a huge, big, white horse with a sword? There's confusion everywhere. But as they cried out, this is what they cried. They cried out, Hosanna. And it simply means this, please save us. So they know what they want. We want saved. We want saved from this thing. And yes, the people were confused, but here was the reality of their confusion. The Israelites were under oppression again. They went from Old Testament, from Egypt, to now it's Romans. And they're being oppressed, and they're being overlooked, and they're being outclassed, and they're being undermined. And the Romans rule the roost, and they are the ones in charge. And again, the Israelites are finding themselves as nobodies. And so they really are seeking a Savior. And it's not so much about their sins, it's more about their lives. And there's something in that for us, where we say to ourselves, what am I really after Jesus for? Is it for my own personal benefit, and for my family, and all of that can be great to a measure? Or is it because I really realize I need my sins forgiven and I want to walk in a different way and follow after him. They were desperate to be saved. There's no doubt about that. They wanted a king to come, but essentially what they wanted from this king, and it's what anybody wants when you're being oppressed for so long, you want a king to come with a sword. You want him to slaughter all of your enemies and say, ha ha ha, I told you so, and you want to walk free. And realistically, you want to be then the ones in charge. And yet for Jesus, he came on a colt. Verse 7 of chapter 21, it says this, they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on, and off he went into the city. And you know, for a moment, let's just think about this. You have waited, you've heard the stories of a Messiah, in your mind you've built it up, they're going to come like almost like every character out of Marvel combined. You know, it's going to be Superman, it's going to be Iron Man, DC, I mean, it's going to be everybody, it's going to be Batman, and they're all going to culminate and come together, and it's going to be Jesus, and he's probably going to glow, and he's probably going to be on a white horse that glows, and as he rides in, everybody's going to be wiped out, the bodies and all the goodies are going to survive. You just have no idea what was building up in people's heads. But when you get desperate and you've been oppressed for so long, mental images start to form and you start to say to yourself, he's bound to come this way. He's bound to come. But the first point I want us to think about is, why would Jesus come on a donkey? I mean, it just makes no sense. Now, part of it is to fulfill an Old Testament prophecy, but Jesus is the Word, so he doesn't go around ticking boxes. He just does it by accident because he is the Word of God. There was something more than this. There was something so much more. And of course, the whole point of Jesus' life is try to show us an upside down kingdom and say, hey, whatever you've seen before, whatever power struggles you've seen before, whatever methods of taking power you've seen before, I want to show you a different way, and it must always be rooted in love. Because everything the world does tends to be rooted in fear. I want to overthrow. I want to take Ukraine. I want to take Russia. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's not based on love. It's based on fear and tyranny. And I want to take over. And I want to be more powerful. And I want to be more in charge. But Jesus is not like this. And so for a moment, let's think about white horses versus donkey colts. I mean, you couldn't get more extreme. A white horse, majestic, strong, powerful, expensive, hard to find. A donkey's colt, nobody wants. Can we get rid of it? Rejected, despised. Get rid of that thing. We don't need it. Mighty kings and mighty warriors rode on white horses and chariots, but not Jesus. He was making a clear statement that day, and he's still making it today. I am not what you think. I am not here for power and success. I am here for something so much greater, and I'm not going to fit into the narrative that has been put before me, and I'm not going to fit into the benchmarks or the parameters or the boundaries that anybody else would set. I'm not coming as a better version of somebody else. I am coming unique, and I'm coming completely different. I'm like a king that you've never seen before. This is our King Jesus, and this is why it's still relevant for us today. Number one, here's what Jesus was saying, and this is not exhaustive. There are many more points. I don't need status to prove my identity. I do not need status to prove my identity. Forget the title. Forget the given authority by this person. Forget the name on the door. Forget the badge, the name badge on the shirt. I don't need status for identity. In fact, my identity is rock solid as a son of the living God. What an incredible relief for us as men and women of God. If we could get this, you don't need the status. So many times we're fighting for the status. I must be recognized. I must be valued. I must be this. And all of that things are good and they're great. And if we have them, so be it. But I don't need it because I have my full identity in Christ. Number two, I don't need success. You see, by Jesus riding in on a colt, he's basically saying, I don't need success. Stuff your white horse. I mean, I like white horses. In fact, I created white horses. I mean, I created all things and I sustained them in the palm of my hand, but I don't need a white horse. I'm quite happy to come in the lowest form because I need everybody to know I'm above nobody. I'm underneath everyone. Wow. What a king. What a Messiah. What an incredible, incredible king. I want it, but I don't need success. Jesus didn't come to be a failure. He didn't come to be a loser. That's not who he was. And it's the same in our lives. We don't go out every day to go, I'm no good, I'm no good, I'm no good. No, it's just I don't need success because I have my success in Christ. I have my success in God. And so with freedom, I can go after success. And if it happens, fantastic, praise the Lord. He helped me. But if it doesn't, it doesn't define me. It doesn't come against me. I shake myself up off the dust off and I go again and I go for what's next. Number three, I'm not interested in me. wow, this is the key thing. I mean, could you imagine, I don't know, the president or somebody really important, the queen or the prime minister comes to Armagh and they just walk in? I mean, it just would make no sense. We'd be there going, wow, we cheer for you, we love you, but why are you walking? Like, or they ride in a bike, you know, like, why are you riding in a bike? You should be coming in black Range Rovers blacked out with five or six, and we're not sure which one you're in, and then you just appear. You know, like, what is going on that Jesus would come in? And here's what he's really saying. I'm not interested in me. I'm not interested in me. How incredible is this? Here's what I am. I've got a vision for your life. And I want to see your life transformed. I want to see you find the love, the peace, the contentment, and ultimately I want you to find freedom from all the snares of life. And number four, and this is what I love about our King Jesus, I'm not here to live long and prosper. I'm here to die so that you can live long and prosper in your life and in eternity. This is our King. This is the one that we serve. How incredible is our King Jesus. And from that, hopefully even today for your heart, it sets you free from a need for success, a need for recognition, a need for power and status. I don't need that any longer because I find it in Jesus. And if we could figure that one out in our thinking, because our heart already knows it, our spirits have been made new if we're in Christ, if we've given our lives to Jesus, then it's just a mind thing for us to catch up. And on Palm Sunday, everybody wanted freedom. They just wanted Jesus to give it to them. They didn't realize that he was their freedom. They didn't realize, Israel at that moment didn't realize what they really needed true freedom from was themselves. Israel needed to be set free from Israel. The people of God needed set free from themselves. Jesus was the solution, but he was different than they thought. And it led to confusion. And in reality, the same people that cheered on day one were the same people that said, crucify on day five. It is ridiculous when you think about it. The same people that cheered and worshiped and cut off the branches and laid down their cloaks and said, we worship you, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. 5 days later were the same people that were going to go, set Barabbas free. Jesus has to go. Jesus has to die. It is unbelievable. When we get confused, when we get our eyes off the prize, when we get more concerned with ourselves and looking to Christ, when we stop looking up and we start looking in, you will find yourself going from something of doing the right thing but not fully understanding it to completely walk in the opposite direction. And his own people said crucified and put him on the cross. What a crazy mixed up people we can be. And I tell you what, we are not much different. You see, nations never change because of politics or soldiers. Come on, let's be real today. They do not change because of politics or soldiers. They may, to a measure, help things or at least look that they're changing things, but they will never fix things. The way to truly fix things is Jesus and the good news of the gospel and men and women rising up in faith and in love, with empowered by his grace and going out and living as the men and women that God's called us to be. And Jesus was saying, I'm being the first example of this, and here I come into our broken city and I come in the lowest form to show the people that you can find me exactly where you are, and together we can transform things. Together we can rise up. So what kind of Savior, and this is our challenge today, what kind of Savior do you see and do you serve? One that makes only your life better, and that's all you're prioritizing. I just want a God that answers my prayers. I just get frustrated when he doesn't answer me. I just want money in the bank. I just want the perfect family. I just want a boyfriend. I just want a girlfriend. Whatever it is that you want, I just want all of that stuff. Or do I want a Savior that first and foremost saves me from myself, from my sins? Because I know in my mind, it's toxic. I know in my heart, without a Savior, it's toxic. I know in my life, I'm living selfish, and I need set free from it. I mean, the biggest question that Jesus was asking that day is, why are you interested in me? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you interested in me? And I think it's a great question for us to ask ourselves on Palm Sunday or whatever day you happen to watch this. Why are you interested in Jesus? Is it for forgiveness? Is it for advantage? Is it for his love? Is it just to be saved and have a better life? Why are you interested in him? Why are you interested? And if you're not sure how to answer that question, look at your life. Look at where you spend your time. Look at how you have your conversations. Because I tell you what, when you start to get interested in him and the right things, he's never off your lips. You're just like, oh, you got to hear about Jesus. Can I just tell you what the Lord has done? Wow, it just changes every aspect of us. And then the second big point and for another few moments, is don't miss the moment. You see, this was a moment. Jesus was on a colt. I mean, he's riding into Jerusalem. This is ridiculous. Like, the people are shouting for joy. Imagine this moment for a minute. Like, it's like we've waited for thousands of years and here he is. We've waited for so long. We heard the stories. We read the storybooks. You know, it's like reading and hearing and being told about it for generation after generation. And now he's here. It's almost surreal. It's almost like pinch yourself moment. He's actually there. And here he comes riding on a colt. And yet they had no clue. Even the disciples couldn't see that 5 days later he's going to the cross. They couldn't get it. He kept telling them, but they just could not get it. It was just too tough because only like a few days later, Peter's going to go, no, Lord, we'll never let them take you. And then, you know, he cuts off a guy's ear. And Jesus is like, he even calls him Satan in a sense. He goes, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't even know what you're talking about. I mean, it is mad. If we don't stay focused on Jesus, we will find ourselves clutching at straws all over the place. They had waited for so long. He's finally here. But here's the real truth of Jerusalem in that moment at that season. They missed their moment, and they missed their destiny. Wow. And I just want to encourage your hearts and urge your hearts. Maybe you find Jesus. Well, don't stop until you've got everything that he's called you to. Maybe you haven't found him yet. And for you today, the moment is salvation. Well, then don't stop till you get salvation, because what good is it if you worship on Sunday and you crucify him on Friday? I mean, if he doesn't get to your heart, if he doesn't change your life, then you might just forget it. There's been no point to Jesus. And yet Easter is the most incredible thing of our whole Christian calendar. It changed history forever. The disciples couldn't see it. The people couldn't see it. I pray that we can see it. But here's where it gets interesting when we start to bring it up to our culture today. Who saw COVID coming? Oh my goodness, no one. Not even the greatest prophets. They didn't see it. They were prophesying all sorts of other things, but they didn't see COVID and all that would mean. And locked out for 2 years? Oh my goodness. Who knew that that girl that you would meet would become your wife? You've no clue. Like, who knew that that job would transform your whole world, both for good or for bad? Like, that one moment can change things forever. And for us in our lives, we've got to realize there are moments in lives. There are moments that get presented to us, and whether we understand them or not, maybe at some times we just got to be obedient and submit and go, okay, Jesus, I understand what you're saying. Maybe I need to surrender to that more than what do I understand. We miss things all the time, even the good things. Who knew that that was going to go good? Who knew that that was going to go bad? Who knew that COVID was going to be 2 years? We had no clue. We simply took day by day, and every assumption that we maybe had, we maybe realized, what a load of nonsense. We had no clue whatsoever. We are not really in control. So who are you going to give control of your life to? The children of Israel, that day on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode in, and really what they were saying was, come fix our broken mess, give us our lives back, let us live for ourselves. What they really needed to do was, Jesus, help us, save us, transform us. Our lives are busted. It's not about the physical, it's about the internal. Help us. That's what we got to get to today. Luke 19 tells the same story, and it's got a great warning for us. This is what it says. As they approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Jesus wept over it. We don't read this in Matthew, but as he came to the city, he began to weep, and he weep because he was full of sorrow because he knew that the city had missed things. And he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Jerusalem is a sad story of a lost destiny. Our lives can be a sad story of a lost destiny. We've got to see clearly who Jesus is, and we're not going to see it in our own natural selfish eyes. We're going to have to say by faith, Jesus, help me to see. Lord, help me to understand. But even at this moment, maybe you're feeling convicted and you simply say, okay, Lord, Jesus, maybe you don't even know how to reference him. You know, sometimes we get so into our Christianese, we don't even know how to talk real anymore because we all talk Christian, you know, Christianese. And maybe just go, I don't know what's going on, help me. Maybe that's your prayer for surrender. Maybe if you've been in church a while, you're like, Jesus, I didn't know if I believed in you, but I do now. Help me. Just help me to see. Whatever way you pray, whatever way you say it, but get to the same conclusion. Help me to see. Because that day, Jesus wept. His heart was broken because his people, the people that he loved, could not see who he was. And he could see 5 days in advance. He could see what was going to happen in 5 days. He knew what was going to happen a few moments later. And his heart was breaking because he knew that they were celebrating, but they were rejoicing for the wrong reason. They didn't see him for who he was. They saw the wrong Savior. They saw the wrong King. They couldn't see who he really was. was. And for us as Christians today, this needs to be our heart's cry, that the people around us, that our friends and family, we would pray and say, God, help them to see who you really are. Help them to see. Help them to see through the veil. Help them to see through the blinkers. Help them to see through the scales, and help them to see who you truly are. Not someone who makes your life better, but someone who saves you from your sin to then live a life for Christ. This is the ultimate goal of our lives. A people forever chosen by God, but the same people who shouted Hosanna were the same people at the end of the week that were going to cry, crucify him. What a contrast. But ultimately, what a tragedy. And yet for Jesus, here's the hope. It said that he wept. And this is what's good news, and this is what I love about the hope of Christ. The fact that he's weeping shows that he's still got compassion. The fact that he was weeping shows that he still cared and he still loved. And the truth about Jesus was that there was always hope, and he still went to the cross even though he could see the people's hearts. He went there. Come on, let's be real. The people may have said crucify, but the Bible makes it very clear Jesus laid down his own life. No one took it from him. And for us, we've got to know this. Jesus was still in control in love. He never stepped out of that. He was still going to the cross, whether the people shouted for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. He was still going to the cross. He still loved the people regardless. He kept preaching to the city. We learn that if you read the story after his resurrection, he kept going. He kept tiring with the people. He kept talking to the people. He kept going because he still had a hope for the people. He still had a love for the people. And he kept praying. And then on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after, 40 days after, plus the 10 days Jesus has left, and then comes 50 days after the resurrection Sunday. And it said that on that day in Jerusalem, 3,000 people got saved. What an incredible truth. What an incredible turnaround. And the hope for us today is, even if we don't see it, keep praying. Even if there's friends and family that we have that don't see it, keep praying for them. Because if we keep praying, there is a chance that something changes. As Jesus went forward, the cross still happened. As Jesus went forward, still darkness was defeated. Sin was defeated. And it gave opportunity for people to put their trust in Jesus. Even if they hadn't seen yet, he was still going to give them an opportunity for it. Tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And so what needs do you have? What needs? For the children of Israel that day, for the people of Israel, for the Jewish people that day, the people of Jerusalem, they had external physical needs. We all have external physical needs. But I believe that one of the biggest challenges that God wants to give us today, as we're stepping into Palm Sunday and we're going into 2022 and all that that brings, and we're looking back going, how can they be so silly? Well, maybe we could be so silly too. And I ask you this question, what needs do you have today? If our first response is, well, I need a car, and I need this person, and I need that, and we go to all this physical external stuff, I want to challenge your heart and say, why are we not going to the spiritual first? Why are we not going, number one, if our need is salvation, then salvation? And number two, if we're Christians, why are we not going to, how do I get more of Jesus? How do I clear the deck so that I have more time for him? How do I clear the deck so I can live more for him? How can I hear his voice better so I can go more for him? That is the people that God is trying to raise up. A people that will think about God first. A people that will think about the things of heaven first. They will say, okay, what's God calling me to? What's heaven speaking over me? How's the Holy Spirit leading my life? So that our first response is not always to the physical or the natural, but our first response is to the spiritual. What is God wanting to do through me? Don't miss this moment. Here's a challenge for our hearts today. If it's for salvation, take it. We're going to pray in just a moment, take it. But if it's as a Christian, then take it. Are we living all that we need to in Christ? Are we following after him first? Are we living in the flow of the Holy Spirit? Is the grace of God empowered through us? Are we praying every day, change me, renew me? Do we understand who we are in Christ as sons and daughters, forgiven? We're no longer sinners anymore. We're sons and daughters if we're in Christ. Do we understand where he's called us and where he has placed us? I pray and hope that we do. And we're going to pray for that in just a moment. So the palm trees, let's finish with this. Why on earth do you bring the palm trees? Well, in that culture, in that day, you cut down the palm trees because of the style of them, the height of them, the size of them, and it symbolized triumphalness. And as a king came through, it was to show a king, wow, we receive you, we rejoice over you, but like confetti in a way. But they cut down the palm trees. And I think it's interesting that the Bible would make note of that and make note of the trees. Of course, Jesus, 5 days later, was going to be cut down on a tree, quite similar. But what's his heart for us as Christians? His heart for us is this, that we wouldn't be people that would lay down palm trees. We would be people that would lay down our lives. We're to be cut. We're to be cut for Christ. And we're to do that of our own accord, just as Jesus did. And as we get a revelation of Christ and we get an understanding of who we are in him, we simply say, Jesus, I need you. And so we lay down our lives. But then every day after that, we say, Jesus, I want to lay down my life because I understand who you are. And my challenge to finish with is this. Will we lay down our lives every day for our King Jesus? The people did it in Jerusalem. They did it. They didn't really fully understand why they were doing. But for us today, we understand, or at least we understand better, would we lay down our lives for King Jesus? Because every day he's looking to come move through your life. Every day he's looking to move through your heart and in that workplace that you hate, in that family you feel stuck in that relationship that you're not sure what to do with. He's looking to move through all of those spaces, but we've got to get out of the way. Our challenge today is the same challenge as what the children of Israel had, as the Jewish people did back in Jerusalem over 2,000 years ago. Could we get out of the way and allow Jesus to walk through our lives? That's what their challenge was. We just want set free, Lord. We just want to say, help us. We're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, please save us. We just want out of here. We do the same a lot of the times. But I wonder, could we change the tune? I wonder, could we live a different way? And could we say today, Jesus, help me get out of the way. I want you to flow through my life. Holy Spirit, help me. So come on, guys, we're going to pray today. And let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray today for anybody that hasn't put their trust in you, that needs salvation. Come on, this is the moment. This is the time. Lord, we can wait forever, but we've got to put our trust in Jesus. This is our only answer. This is our only way for salvation. Lord, I pray right now that anybody that's made a decision or ready to make a decision to do that, that we realize we've got to believe in our hearts. We've got to confess it with our minds. And as we put our trust in Jesus, an internal transformation takes place that our lives are never the same. I pray for anybody that needs that right now, that you would do it and say yes to Jesus. And trust me, something incredible will take place. Lord, I pray for anybody who's far from you and wants to come back to you. Let them do the same. Let them put their trust in Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you back and I need you to work through my life and I need to get out of the way. I need you to flow through me. And Lord, I pray for us as Christians. Come on, we are not exempt from any of this stuff. We need to say, Jesus, where are you in my life? How am I recognizing you? How do I respond as you as Savior? Is it just about making my life better? Is it just about desperate cries when I need desperate things to happen? Or is it simply saying every day, Jesus, I want to worship you. I want to be like that palm tree. I want to lay my life down. I want to bow before you. I want to surrender every single day. And I want Jesus to recognize you and for you to move through my life. I pray, Holy Spirit, you would come and challenge us. Come on, this is what it's all about. This is why we need Easter to come every year to remind ourselves of the greatest event in history, but that we're to continue the story. So I pray, Holy Spirit, help us, challenge us, encourage us, and I pray today that you would speak life to our hearts. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.